My footsteps thunder in my ears as I pound down the stairwell. I race ahead of the other Fae, leaving the meeting hall, not wanting to be swamped by their grief over the loss of another of our own. I did not know Silas Manusen well, but he was still a brother. I also need to escape the tears of the Nimali. They weep for their own, not caring about the fate of the Fae. But the memory of the devastated expression on Selena's face almost makes me stumble. Her soft gasps and barely withheld sobs. She was truly moved by the plight of both victims tonight. Her presence was a shock. I wouldn't have expected her to even know about the ceremony. And how she got her hands on a Fae uniform is a mystery. But her reaction to the horrors on display convinces me that Numi is right. The princess might be able to be turned to our cause.
My brother finally came home. His timing was bad, or so I thought at first, but then the pieces came together and everything made sense. Everything. Even the pain. I'm in the great city now, the place people go when they leave the earth. At least some people. It's not perfect, though, this other realm, but it is wonderful. Like other human beings, I'd once imagined perfection as a state of the afterlife, only to discover that perfection isn't perfect. That is to say, it isn't joyful. It's stale, uneven, rigid, static, lacking growth. And that's what's perfect. Growth and change. I'm growing now more than ever. We work, citizens of the city, and we enjoy the fruit of our labor. Before I continue, let me say that you, like TL, will have to put the pieces of this story together for yourself.
Question. Pulse Churn asks, how do you feel about being black? I don't really think about it. Bart Rudd, student. It bothers me that almost every homeless guy I see in this city is black. Could we get a diversity program for poverty? You know, affirmative action for sleeping in parks? It could change things. Nina Bryant, publicist. It's time we took some responsibility. My high school didn't even talk about Jim Crow, so he couldn't have been that bad. Wendy Hart, pundit. Black men invented Wushu. The colleges want us to forget, but we remember the truth. The one-inch punch is black. The Shaolin temples were black. The three-section staff is black. It's all black. Dean Williams, unemployed. For a long time, I didn't care. But now it's been 6 years since my last promotion, and that has me thinking. Zachary Easton, coder. Black? It's all right. Poor? It's killing me. I can't even afford to be depressed about it. Caleb Jones, cashier. Good question. Follow Ed Newby and Queen Celine for the answer. You might learn something about oppression and dog gifts. Focus on the oppression. Celine Parsons, influencer. Think of the butterfly effect. If I wasn't black, what else would change? Would America still exist? Would we cure colon cancer? Would giant bipedal ladybugs control the world? Lisa Martin, nurse. I've got a kid. I made the same mistake as a dozen white girls in this shithole town. But I get all the looks and jokes. It's not funny from where I'm sitting. Anna Foxwood, assistant librarian. Well, I get to say nigger. Nigger, 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 nigger. Nigger. Nigger! Robert North, lawyer. I'm proud, as all kings should be. Being born black is my greatest accomplishment. Cedric Lane, unemployed. I just want to marry a white woman. Anything else is worse than being alone, and I can't be alone with me. I went to white schools in a white town in a white state. I need a white wife to feel like myself. Elliot Andrews, therapist. Fuck Whitey. Tyler Cole, correctional officer. It's kicking the shit out of me. Google Jamaicans and homosexuality the next time you're having a good day. Stella Hammond, greeter. I read that the police are shooting us, and that white terrorists are shooting us, and that we're shooting us. Does all that really happen? I don't want to get shot. Jessica Clark, student. It was cool until I got shot. Ernest Kincaid, student. In Dungeons and Dragons, there's this chart called an encounter table. It decides what monsters and traps players encounter based on a dice roll between 1 and 100. At 1, you might find gold. At 100, you might find a pissed off dragon made of gold. Follow me? Being black is like going through life with a second encounter table. Between 1 and 50, nothing happens. A 56 will get you a random traffic stop, and an 81 gets you a racist manager. Roll 100, and you get your own hashtag, which would be nice if you were around to enjoy it. Ed Galloway, high school football coach. I don't give two wet shits, and I'm tired of people expecting me to. Piss off. Fred Auster, author. It's pretty fucked up. Davin Porter, civil engineer. That's great. R.B. Cartwright, valet. It's okay. Cynthia Lucas, professor of African American studies.
Brooklyn was loud, midnight dark, full of chaos, adding to my insomniatic misery. But the noise from my upstairs neighbor wasn't the only thing keeping me up. Numbers and algorithms coded my inner vision like some Pollock piece. My body? Stupid with tension. The kind of tight coil that twists your spine and keeps your shoulders from any damn thing but bunching pain. The numbers, the darkness, all that chaos fought for space inside my head, dimmed by the racket I heard above me. That thumping, hyper noise of a drumbeat from some clueless asshole's speakers in the upstairs apartment. Tamped out the jazz pouring from my headphones. Coltrane was wicked, the smooth slip of his sax like the voice of God. The heady mix of condemnation and praise, pain that both harmed and healed in every note.
Frogs assigned me this particular mission 2 months ago, and it has been a thorn in my side ever since. The job is to travel to a few decades post-fall and synthesize a drug called Cat9. Now, I might have been a dead-ender for more than half a decade, but I was still born in 1818. Call it parochialism, but volatile drugs produced by high-tech gadgets are not exactly my specialty. It has taken me 2 whole months of studying salvage manuals and a lot of direct help from frogs to ready myself. Beth would have had it sorted in a matter of days, yet frogs insisted that it had to be me. I take a few steps away from my car to a patch of earth that is clear of everything except cracks. Iggy turns his video camera on me and, in that overly dramatic voice again, says, "Counting down now, folks. 5, 4. And I am gone. I reappear in a high-tech laboratory that is covered in dust. This is 2056, 33 years after pods became a consumer item. The exodus for the future has largely already happened. Glancing out the window, I spy a huge gold skyscraper, shining like a tribute to human progress. except it's fool's gold. London has already fallen. Last desk on the left. Frogs, speaking directly into my head through the comms. I head for the desk. There is indeed a small silver case of category drugs, just like the one that we scavenged for me to practice on. I open the case and chew my lip in concentration. I might have spent months perfecting how to make Cat 9, but it is still bloody complicated. I am about to start when I hear footsteps. That cannot be right. The city is mostly abandoned. The chances of someone being here now... Frogs, I whisper. Someone's coming.